Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. And I'm Nicholas. We're going to continue here in the book of Hosea. Of course, Hosea, the prophet to Israel, specifically to Israel and Judah before the captivity. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Ephraim feedeth on wind. So we discussed what it means to feed on the wind a little bit, how we feed on emptiness, how we feed on lies, and how everyone just buys it like it's really real, like there's something really there. You know, and how can a nation create a trillion, a thousand billion dollars out of thin air as a bailout? You know, it's like trying to bail out a boat with a bottomless bucket. Yes, your bucket has sides, but it has no bottom in it. And you're trying to bail it out because there's nothing, it's empty. There's nothing behind the dollars that they're creating. Where does it come from? You know, if we're broke, they didn't get the dollars from me. Did they get them from you? Yes, how much does it cost to print up paper nothings? Yes, feeding on the wind. Yes, and they're going to wonder, what happened? Why didn't that work? Yes, why isn't the water getting out of the boat with our holy bucket? Yes, they waved their magic wand over it, but it's still got a hole in the bottom, doesn't it? Holy bucket. I feed on the wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried away into Egypt. And yeah, I saw that, how they got together with all the leaders of the world. It didn't turn to Yahuwah, our God, the God of the Bible. They didn't turn to him and say, oh, help us, you know, let us follow your law, because ours ain't working too good. Let us follow your monetary system because ours is failing. No, they said, yeah, we're going to try ours. Let's make more funny money. Let's make more dollars of nothing and see if that'll work. Is it going to work? Oh, well, we'll see. We already know the answer to that one. Verse 2 of chapter 12, Yahuwah. And it says, the Lord, in the authorized King James Version, hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him, and how much more all of the other nations, and the nation where I live. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even Yahuwah, God of hosts, Yahuwah is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Yes, are we waiting on him? No, we're creating more lies and relying on the wind rather than waiting on God. Why don't they turn to God, the God of the Bible? Because they're enjoying their licentiousness. They love their adulteries. They want to practice their murders and their abortions and their birth control. They love the liberty of their God, their liberty to licentiousness. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant. The balance of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet am I become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Let's see. Let me read that again. I kind of got lost in it. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. All my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Okay. And I, Yahuwah thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal, yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled to the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept. And by a prophet Yahuwah brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly, therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Okay, in these verses, let's see. Reproofs for sin. When God is coming forth to contend with a people that he may demonstrate his own righteousness. I'm turning to Henry here because of the language here is a little archaic. So let's see what Henry has to say about chapter 12, verses 7 through 14. He says, reproofs for sins. Here are intermixed in these verses. One, reproofs for sins. When God is coming forth to contend with a people that he may demonstrate his own righteousness, he will demonstrate their unrighteousness. Ephraim was called to turn to his God and keep judgment. Now to show that he had need of that call, he is charged with turning from his God by idolatry and breaking the laws of justice and judgment. Here he is charged with injustice against the precepts of the second table. Here observe, 1, what the sin is wherewith he is charged. He is a merchant. The margin reads it as a proper name. He is Canaan, or a Canaanite, unworthy to be denominated from Jacob and Israel, and worthy to be cast out with a curse from this good land, as the Canaanites were. So we see here the sin of Ephraim. One of the sins of Ephraim was that he was a merchant, that he put merchandising before God Almighty. Isn't that, look around you today. And wasn't that the sin of the nations when Yahshua says, don't be like the nations? For after all these things, do the nations seek? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? But he said, you seek first the kingdom of Yahuwah, the kingdom of heaven, and his righteousness, that is what is right in the sight of our heavenly Father, and all of the things that you need will be added to you. Of course, I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. The same sin. There's nothing more important in America, the land where I live today, than merchandising. Well, it's what the season is all about, isn't it? The season we just went through? It's the merchandising season. Their God is merchandise. That's right. Their God is money. And that's why, you know, they look to the wind. They trust in the wind. In money that has no backing. It's become an idol. They worship that idol. Same sin here. That's what our good friend Henry is revealing to us, in that he is called a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. That's Hosea chapter 12, verse 7. There it is, right there. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. It's all about money. And it's all about an unjust weight and a balance. What they do, they do for gain, even if they have to do it by cheating people with an unjust weight and a balance. And that's what the monetary system today is all about. It is an unjust weight and a balance. And these people, they eat the wind. They feed on the wind because they get up there and they make a big stir about how they're going to fix the economic system. But they don't turn to a just weight and a balance. Because now, they're not just sliding the scale a little bit, where you're supposed to have an ounce of gold, and course, they tip the scale in their favor where you're going to get 9/10 of an ounce because the balance is off. No, the whole balance is empty now. You get the whole ounce of nothing. Because there's nothing there. It's just whatever you believe, whatever will be accepted out there for the dollar of nothing. Because a dollar was a weight. It was a measurement. You know, it's like an ounce. It's like a quart. You go into the store and you say, I need a quart of milk. Okay, well, here's your quart of milk. Well, give me a quart. A quart of what? And that's what a dollar is. A dollar of what? Well, it used to be a dollar of gold. A dollar of gold with so many grains. A dollar of silver with so many grains of silver. It was actually a weight of something. That's what a dollar was. It was a measurement of specie, either gold or silver. And it was measured by law. So many grains of silver is a dollar. So you say, give me a dollar. Well, you knew how many grains of silver or how many grains of gold you were talking about. But now it's a dollar of nothing. So there it is. And that's what he's talking about. That was the sin in Ephraim. Ephraim has said, I've become rich. And he said, where is it? Now I lost the place. Oh yeah, he is a merchant. The balance of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. Let's continue in verse 12. Let's see, where did we end up? And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet, he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. And I was reading Henry's commentary, and you can see Henry's commentary is, you can get that as an add-on to the Esord. And sometimes when you get into this archaic language, Henry's can clear it up a little bit for you, as he did here for us. Always a good reference work. So he says, but Canaan sometimes signifies a merchant, and therefore is most likely to do so here, where Ephraim is charged with deceit and trade. Though God had given his people land flowing with milk and honey, yet he did not forbid them to enrich themselves by merchandise, and they succeeded, the Canaanites, in that as well as in their husbandry. They sucked the abundance of the seas and the treasures hidden in the sand. And if they had been fair merchants, and would have been no reproach to them at all, but as honor and a blessing, but he is such a merchant as the Canaanites, who were honest only with good looking too, and if they could, cheated all they dealt with. Ephraim does so. He deceives and thereby oppresses. No, there is oppression by fraud, as well as oppression by force. It is not only princes, lords, and masters that oppress their subjects, tenants and servants, but merchants and traders are often guilty of oppressing those they deal with when they impose upon their ignorance or take advantage of their necessity to make hard bargains with them, or are rigorous and severe in exacting their debts. Ephraim cheated, one, with his great deal of art and cunning. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He uses balances and delivers his goods by weight and measure, and if he would be very exact, but they are balances of deceit, false weights and false measures, and thus, under color of doing right, he does the greatest wrong. And so I'll leave off there, and we'll jump into Hosea chapter 13. Looks like we'll finish up Hosea today. Chapter 13 and verse 1. When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more. They have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, and as the chaff that is driven by the whirlwind out of the floor. and as the smoke out of the chimney. And these are words of judgment, of course. So how could we expect less in the great land called America where I live? How could we expect less in judgment? Yet I am Yahuwah thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. And you know, there's still plenty here in America. And though people are eating the wind, they're still fat. They still have their distractions. As long as they have food enough to eat, and football enough to distract them, and the songs of the idolatry of romance to soothe their heart, as long as they can enjoy the lusts of their adulteries, and their abortions, and their sodomy, and their pornography, as long as they can do all of these things, they'll continue to forget their Creator. They'll continue to forget the Savior who brought them the liberties that founded the land where they live. The liberties that are fast disappearing. I don't see much hope for America. Because when things go wrong, they just continue to cry out to their gods and their images. And they cry out to the other nations. And they say, well, they believe in things like, well, if we all have one voice, if the whole earth sings one song, if we all become one color, if we meld all of our religions and our tongues and our nations and our monies and our riches together, and we redistribute them all evenly, then we will have peace on earth. We help have peace and prosperity for every man. Yes, that is Mystery Babylon, is it not? Well, then their greatest fall will come. Yes, they'll get close to that. They'll never have it. It's going to be clay mingled with iron to the end. They'll never have their one world government. Either that or the scripture is wrong. Oh, they're trying very hard. And yes, they will. With the iron will become strong and they'll trample and crush a lot of people. Trying to get it. And they are crushing a lot of people trying to get it. Those that will not comply. Those that will not agree with their plan for the world. Those that say, I cannot become one with you. That I have to remain separate because the law of my God requires me to be holy to Him. To be separate to Him. And so, the lamb-like beast that rose up in the wilderness will start to speak like a dragon. It will recreate itself in the image of the first beast, and it will require everyone, both small and great, rich and poor, to bow down and worship the image, to receive the mark of the image, yes, to identify, and because when you receive a mark, you receive the mark of your owner, of the one that you worship. So you'll bow down and you worship the image, or the image of the beast, they will crush you if you don't worship. That time is coming. And we have it now. Many are being crushed, but many more will be crushed. And it's going to become a total onslaught by the end. So, yes, it's going to be increasing over the next several hundred years until the Messiah comes. Can we abate it? Can we put it off? Yeah, perhaps we can for a while. Perhaps we cannot. I don't know. We can only live and see. But what is our duty? What is the duty of man? Our duty is obedience to our God. And I hope that your God is the creator of the universe, the one named Yahuwah, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham and Isaac, who sent his only son, our Messiah, to die in our place, to give us even more grace a grace which allows us to boldly go before the Creator of the universe, the grace that allows us to say with Paul, I sit in heavenly places in Yahshua, the Messiah. That's the grace that Jesus, Yahshua, brought. He extended the grace so that we could be forgiven now and stand and be set apart to Holy God now, so that we could live in His kingdom now, that we could be citizens of heaven now. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Would like to hear from you. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. I'll be back after these brief messages.